You're listening to the 15th episode of The Gear Heart. I'm your reader, writer, and host, Alex White. Renee White is the voice of our female characters. If you haven't had a chance yet, or you're listening on iTunes or Podiobooks.com, you can stop by the Gear Heart blog and interact at www.thegearheart.com. There, you'll find podcaster interviews, articles, the Gear Heart soundtrack, and more. Or you can email me at alex@thegearheart.com. Don't forget that you can also follow us on Twitter, username TheGearHeart. And now, settle in, pour a cup of tea, and enjoy as we bring you more tales of The Gearheart. Last time on The Gearheart, Jonathan arrived back from his disastrous appointment with the Cirrus, only to learn that Isabel has succumbed to an attack by the Hangman. While the Seekers expended massive resources to keep her alive, Jonathan is unsure how long that will last. Will they let her die? Find out on The Gearheart. Isabel was always so beautiful. Her skin was smooth like an eggshell, and her hair was always perfectly coiffed, each chestnut lock falling into a preordained location around her dark eyes. It was a finely tuned mechanism, a well-polished veneer that enabled her to conduct all but her weakest moments with absolute dignity. Even when Isabel was a little girl, Jonathan remembered her beauty, the way that she knew when to smile and laugh, how she knew which way to turn to make the maximum impact upon any and all observers. Jonathan had to convince himself that the torn, graceless creature in the bed was indeed his childhood friend. Her hair was wiry and bound into thick tendrils by the salt of her sweat. Isabel's deep brown eyes seemed slightly lighter, in stark contrast to the sunken sockets around them. Her lips were dry and cracked, in the same pallor as the skin under her forearm. A thick brass pipe, with all sorts of strange gauges and fittings, ran from the ceiling to a socket in a vest on Isabel's bosom, pinning her to the bed. The room continually hummed with power as arcane energies poured into the girl's broken form, but she simply stared off into space. She didn't smell like jasmine and lilacs anymore. Her wonderful scent had been replaced with disinfectant and old sweat. Jonathan couldn't bring himself any closer, and stayed at the door where he was reasonably sure that she couldn't see him. It wasn't that Jonathan didn't love her. It wasn't that she was ugly. He simply needed to make himself believe that Isabel could ever look like that, before entering the room.
Jonathan,
she sighed. Hey, Isabel, he forced himself to say, striding into the infirmary. I thought you were sleeping.
I've been doing too much of that lately,
she replied, weakly clutching the pipe that impaled her chest.
Do you like my new pendant?
No. He laughed, but caught himself sniffling as he breathed inward. Jonathan's face felt so hot.
They tell me,
her hands fell back to her side,
that this thing runs all the way into my heart and keeps me alive.
I just figured that death was too scared of you to take you, Jonathan joked as his throat tightened.
I'd burn him alive,
she sighed, trying her best to make an angry face and mock signing a glyph. She rubbed the warm brass, touching several of the gauges.
Do you think this makes me look like a car at a gas pump?
They don't make a car out there as pretty as you, said Jonathan.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
Jonathan looked up and out the yellowed window, trying not to cry. He didn't want Isabel to know what he was seeing. He didn't want her to know what the council was planning.
I heard that Cog is conscious again,
Isabel said. That's good news. Augustus is really the best there is.
Don't let him hear you say that. He may start to like you.
Yeah, well, we wouldn't want that, would we? Isabel laughed a few times, but began to choke and calmed down.
Jonathan,
she began.
I have to tell you something the hangman told me.
Told you? Jonathan wasn't ready to hear anything of the sort.
We spoke before he broke my heart,
Isabel said with a smile. Why didn't you run, Isabel? Why didn't you call for help or something? Isabel's eyes darted off to the side, but Jonathan didn't see it through the tears welling in his own.
He snuck up on me, that's all,
she said.
This is important, so I need you to listen well.
Don't you want to file an official report, you know, when you get better? He pried, hoping that she would simply rest.
Jonathan, I've heard talk. I know what you did.
Jonathan felt like his heart had frosted over. He felt his hot breath on his lips and pinpricks in his cheeks. He suddenly felt quite dizzy, but managed to retain control of his body. Then do you understand why I wanted to leave you all? He begged. Isabel's face told him that she didn't. I wanted to be locked up, Isabel, he breathed, swallowing hard. His hands shook, and he wrung them together to stop it. I wanted to be where I could help everyone without killing ever again. I just wanted to get through school and get a nice teaching position and sit around all day with Uncle Milton, grading papers and grousing about taxes.
Jonathan.
And then I saw you, and we found Cog, and this whole secret society came crashing down around my ears. And the next thing I know, I'm a murderer.
Jonathan, Harold Antonello was going to kill you.
Not like I killed him, he wasn't. Jonathan sobbed, the rush of memories assaulting him. Isabel, he begged me to stop, and I couldn't. Slade just wouldn't kill that man. He had to make him suffer. I just needed to make sure that I couldn't do that to anyone else. I just had to make sure that I couldn't do it to you. Then Jonathan felt something warm and soft on his face that took his breath away. Isabel stroked his cheek, speaking more smoothly than before, but still with great effort.
Jonathan, I'm not sure how much longer I can stay awake. I need you to listen to me.
Jonathan watched as she weakly placed her arm back down on the bed, trying to make it look as though she wasn't strained by its weight.
Everyone on the team knows you lost control,
Isabel began.
Augustus told them what he found.
He was right to do so. I can't be trusted.
I trust you,
said Isabel.
That's why I'm going to tell you where the hangman said to meet him.
Jonathan's fists clenched, and he could swear that he heard Auden Slade's voice whispering into his ears. The anger was so incredible, almost a euphoric sensation that the young man could ride to the sun and back. He silenced the beast within as quickly as possible. What did he want? Said Jonathan.
He wants you all to come to the ruins of Antonello Manor in Keldenorn.
What?
Jonathan, I'm telling you this because no matter what, you have to find the hangman and finish things. They don't trust you anymore, and they'll keep you and Cog off the team if they can. You can't let that happen. If you know the location, then you'll be able to go whether they want you there or not.
I don't understand.
He obviously wants to trap you, Jonathan, but I don't know if he knows how truly powerful you are. The combined might of you and Cog will destroy anything that threatens us.
Isabel, Jonathan began.
No, Jonathan. You have to go. You have to stop him.
Isabel closed her eyes.
Now I need to rest. I need my strength if I'm going to wait for you.
So you were just afraid, came Augustus's voice as Jonathan left Isabel's room. The hallway outside bustled with magi and mechanics, though it was no longer the cacophonous bedlam from earlier. They merely moved to and fro, checking the machines that powered Isabel's life support and delivering parts. Many of the medical staff had left, and Jonathan supposed that they were finally departing after a long shift. Augustus leaned against the wall closest to Jonathan, clothed in the same outfit he was wearing the day before. You were listening? It makes me happy that you understand how dangerous you really are to those around you, Augustus replied, though there was no malice in his voice. You're not as carefree as you look. Jonathan sighed. He wasn't looking forward to resisting arrest. So you're going to call the guards and have me detained so I can't get to Antonello Manor, aren't you? Why would I do that? I believe what Isabel said. So what are you getting at, Gus? Augustus smiled. I'm saying that I work with dangerous things all the time. You just gotta know what precautions to take. Word had finally passed to Jonathan that his official title had changed to Harbinger of the Cirrus, which wasn't exactly something he relished. It came with a new ring and a badge, which was hastily presented to him in the dormitory hallway by a surly officiate the night after Jonathan spoke to Isabel. Jonathan was of the mind that the old man was only frightened of receiving a message from the Cirrus as he rushed the ordination procedure. Jonathan also found out that his superior officer wasn't the only seeker afraid of him, as many people avoided eye contact when they spotted his ring in the hallway. So many of them were afraid that he would walk up to them and deliver a message. As a rank, it was equivalent to agent, though the other seekers treated him so poorly that Jonathan hardly noticed any increase in authority. His job description scarcely changed, save that he was intended to deliver the missives of the Cirrus with all speed, and that no one had the authority to stop him if that was his mission. Her selection of Jonathan seemed strange, but he didn't waste time questioning her judgment. He didn't have to question anything when he could just ask her in person. The primary feature of his new rank was that he had unlimited access to the Oracle. The Cirrus's chamber was much darker now, with no illusory trees or butterflies fluttering about. It contained only the luminous flagstones and roots that grew from the golden wires laid into the ground. Jonathan carefully made his way in, flanked by two other nervous-looking agents. He did his best not to trip and fall on the Cirrus's intricate circulatory system as he stepped closer to where she was.
Hello, Harbinger. I see they won't let you talk to me alone anymore.
I'm sorry, Lady Cirrus. I'm sure that you could order these gentlemen away if you wanted.
I object to that,
one of the other agents interjected.
Be lambs and leave us alone, won't you?
The Cirrus rasped at the two agents. Their eyes full of trepidation, they backed out of the room, throwing cautious glances at Jonathan. After they were gone, Jonathan spoke up.
I have some questions for you.
I may.
She took a deep breath.
I may have some answers, although I'm not certain I can help you.
Her glassy eyes met Jonathan's, and he saw that they looked even more necrotic than before.
I can't see past the moment they took the power off down here. As though I've come upon a great black wall.
That was actually my first question.
Jonathan chuckled.
That,
she sighed with a smile.
Is ironic. What else would you like to know, my son?
Jonathan could never have imagined her as a mother, but he could see the kindness in her face at that moment. He wanted to tell her everything about his fears, but he had an idea that she already knew. He squatted down to better speak with her.
Who is Wyland?
Oh, my dear,
the Cirrus chided.
That isn't for you to know until the Lady Antonello decides to tell you. Have you told her what I said yet?
There hasn't been time.
Is that because you're afraid to see her again?
You're a good Cirrus.
And you are a terrible harbinger for not delivering my message.
I'm new at this.
The Cirrus touched Jonathan's hand with her own. It was leathery and cool, but not disconcerting.
You will tell her about Wyland, won't you?
Of course, my lady.
It felt good to say those things. A sense of fealty began to swell in Jonathan's breast.
May I ask my other questions?
Of course.
The Cirrus coughed.
though I'm not sure I can predict them this time.
Jonathan paused before he spoke. He didn't want to sound insubordinate, but he had to know.
If you knew that the hangman was going to attack Isabel back at the ball, why didn't you set a trap?
I did set a trap, my child.
The seeress chuckled.
You did?
I put Isabel there. When the hangman attacked her, it gave her the right, by Seeker law, to investigate further. And she involved the Fumiston chapter, just like I hoped she would.
She did?
I spied another mercenary group poised to kill the lot of you, and I sent Queensmen to dispatch them.
They did?
A sense of humor.
The seeress rasped at the end of her explanation.
I like that in the Harbinger.
Thank you, my lady, but what did that accomplish?
It placed the only two people in the world with a personal grudge against the hangman directly opposite him.
Jonathan didn't follow, and his eyebrows echoed the sentiment.
I saw something when I told you that Isabel was dying, Jonathan.
She said.
I saw where the hangman wanted to meet you.
I thought as much. I take it he knows something about Cog.
The seeress's eyes crinkled as a kind smile crawled across her face.
My dear child, aside from Lady Elena, the hangman is the last Antonello.
How will Jonathan react to finding out that a member of Cog's family still lives, and how can they deal with her haunting heritage? Will this new information change things for better or worse? Find out next time on The Gearheart. This podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 license. For more information, visit creativecommons.org.
This week's podcast has been brought to you by Randy Mandy's Stiffening Starch. Do you find that your clothes are disappointingly flaccid when you need to impress? Let Randy Mandy put her touch on you, and she'll get everything hotter than a rock. Shirts, ascots, dickies, why, she'll have your pants so starchy you could build a tent with them. Just grab a box of Randy Mandy's Stiffening Starch, and we'll have you stiff as a board in no time. We now return you to This Week in Fumiston. This Week in Fumiston, Sister Maria Fucelli of the Order of the Mother Covenant in Fumiston was gunned down whilst bravely attempting to thwart a bank robbery. According to eyewitness accounts, Sister Fucelli deflected several bullets with her overly starched habit before succumbing to the fatal shot. Her fellow sisters, when reached for comment, informed us that Sister Fucelli starched her habit every day for the last 70 years. It just goes to show, old habits die hard. Thank you.